I'm Gab. He's Jules. It's a sunny Champions League Thursday here in West London. Jules, lots to get through because guess what? Liverpool win again. They don't screw it up against Leipzig. And they go through. There's no second time miracle from Barcelona. It's Paris Saint-Germain. I'm sure you're relieved about that. But we got to start with the fact that Porto, see how I did that?
Yeah.
Eliminate Juve. All right, let's talk about this. Juve back to square one.
Yeah.
Obviously, last 3 years, knocked out now by Porto. Last year, Lyon. Year before that, Ajax. Although, to be fair, should have been round of 16 elimination, Atletico Madrid, if not for Cristiano Ronaldo's miracle in the second leg.
Yeah.
I wrote about this, but let's start at the top. Because let's mention Cristiano. There's a very simple narrative out there, like, you got Cristiano to win the Champions League, and look, Cristiano stunk it up against Porto. Is that fair? Playing against, by the way, Porto's central defenders are? One is the magnificent Pepe, who is 2 years older than Ronaldo, who's 38 years old. The other one, former Newcastle legend Chancel Mbemba. These are the people who stopped Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah, and Marquinhos in goal as well, and there's other factors, of course, but I think the more Ronaldo grows old, the better he needs the cast around him. He needs a better team because he can't, like before, he used to have half a chance and score two goals from it. Now this is not the case anymore. Even if he's still amazing, he's a bit slower, of course. He's a bit less efficient, of course he is. And even if he scores in Serie A and he's 20 goals this season and it's a really good season individually for him personally in what he does in Serie A, when it comes to those kind of games, I'm sorry, but the game plan of give the ball to Cuadrado and he's going to put a great cross in towards Morata or towards Chiesa or towards Cristiano, it was not good enough either. And I think he needs more to be able to shine.
So I think as far as Cristiano's concerned, he had a terrible game, and you can hold him responsible as well at the end for that free kick, because the way Cristiano, your boy, was it Rabiot was in the
ball? Rabiot, Morata as well.
Both those guys, Sergio Oliveira is shooting from, 50 yards out? All you basically have to do is stand there. You can see the ball coming to you.
Yeah.
And they'll go, woo-hoo-hoo, and they'll turn around. I mean, I don't want to make this whole macho thing. You've got to get hit in the face.
It's a disgrace.
That was really, really bad. That messed Chesney up. Maybe Chesney should have done better, whatever.
Yeah, anyway, but...
But look, I think Cristiano's the first one who's sitting at home saying, damn, I screwed that up. Okay, he had a bad game.
Yeah.
I don't see this as evidence of some sort of long-term decline of Cristiano. I think he's actually playing a lot better this season than he was the last 2 years when he still scored a lot of goals beyond his goal tally. And I think a lot of it actually has to do with the fact that Juventus are playing more attacking football. So I don't think Cristiano is part of the problem. He obviously on the night he had a terrible game, but that was that. It happens, right? It can happen to anybody. Yeah. I think longer term though, I'm not sure he's part of the long-term solution, but I wrote a column about this. And the reason I'm cautiously okay with the direction Juve are going is that it's necessary, and also Cristiano has another year after this one. There's a lot of speculation, should Juve look to move on from him now since they are going to go into rebuild phase and they won't extend him. But the fact of the matter is, we've talked so many times, what is the market for Messi? What is the market for Ronaldo?
It's a good question. Is there another European club out there, even if Juve said, okay, we'll let you go on a free, go wherever you want, is there another club somewhere who can pay 35 million a year in wages to him, plus bonuses, plus this and that?
Little more than that, Jules. I think more you're looking at about 63 million euros a year.
But I was saying that because let's say they can pay Curtis. But who's going to pay him that at 36? So do you go back to Portugal for much, much less money and you have you're going home for last go in Europe? Do you go to MLS? Do you go to China? Do you go to...
Or do you say, screw it, I've made enough money. Let me go someplace that gives me the best possible chance of winning and playing. Because right now,
Winning what? What does he want
to win? Winning the Champions League. Hypothetically, right? I don't think this is going to happen. Hypothetically, if you were to say you can leave on a free, and this applies to Messi as well, but I think... In some ways, Ronaldo's better placed because Ronaldo can say, I'll just play center forward, you play around me. He can still point to his goals record this year, not 100 years ago, and say, okay, not too many guys, apart from Killian, Erling, and Robert, not too many guys do better than me.
No, true.
I bring you
So where?
If he makes a decision based on that.
Okay, where? So Bayern? No. Man City? No. Liverpool?
Manchester United?
Would Manchester United take him now?
If you take the money component out of it.
I would love that. I would love that.
Cavani. If you slot Ronaldo in the Cavani thing and he takes a bit, and the money component is out of it, sure, why not?
Yeah. But I think United are the only ones. There's no one else.
Don't Barcelona need a center forward?
I can imagine.
All right, we're going to get more granular, talk a little bit more about Juve, but we have to give a shout out to Porto. I just want to underscore what a tremendously entertaining game this was, because Porto were the better team for the first three halves, going back to the first leg. But then so much happened. Once Juve started playing, it was so back and forth. Porto going down to 10 men. We got to give Sergio Conceição some love.
Huge credit for the work ethic, for the solidarity that they showed, the work rate that they showed at 10, at 11. That's all 4-4-2 formation. They worked so hard. Pepe was magnificent at 38, as you said, clearing pretty much everything. And Juve still had plenty of chances. They could have won that leg.
This game could have gone either way.
Completely. But Sergio Oliveira, for me, maybe even more than Pepe, than Mbemba, than Marega, than Tecasito, it's because of the career that he's had. He went on to some crazy loans at Nantes, at PAOK, Standard Liège, and he comes out, and now he's bossing a game like this against Juve. Just what a wonderful technical player he is.
Tremendous shout out. Again, podcast listeners, we're going to talk some more about this. All right, let's get into some more detail about this. I said, I think the direction of travel is the correct one. I don't know who the passengers are going to be, though, for Juve. We'll get more into that in a minute, but I think on the game itself, you've got some issues with
Mr. Pirlo. Yeah, and we're going to disagree, and that's fine. And me and Stuart Robson had a little argument.
A little ding-dong.
On the FC show because, okay, the game plan was pretty obvious from the start. It was use Cuadrado on that right-hand side. He had the whole channel to himself to cross the ball. Ramsey was coming inside. No problem. But this is not a good game plan. A good game plan is a game plan that qualifies you to the next round. It's not a game plan
that... it becomes bad because they didn't qualify.
But yeah, how can you be happy with the way they played if they didn't qualify? Or with Pirlo's tactics if it didn't pay off?
I think my main concern with Pirlo in this game and possibly going forward is for the first 45 minutes, they look terrified.
Yeah.
They when Matthijs de Ligt said afterwards, we only started playing in the second half.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big indictment. You can argue that in the first leg, they made two stupid mistakes at the beginning of each half.
Yeah.
And then they kind of never recovered. But here, you know what you have to do. You know that, you either win 1-0 or you win by two clear goals. You know that this is what you have to do.
Yeah.
Go out there and play. And for 45 minutes, they looked scared. They were playing slow. They were tentative. And I don't know. These are two huge games where they went onto the pitch with the wrong mental aspect. I mean, but leave aside the tactics for a second.
Yeah, no, completely.
I take your point on the tactics. But look, in the end, we go over this. There's no playmaker in midfield, right?
Also,
the one guy who might play that position, Bentancur, is out. Would they be more intense and play quicker with McKennie? Yeah, but McKennie wasn't fully fit.
Okay.
That's why he came
out. Play him for an hour. Play him like you did with Bonucci. Bonucci was not fully fit. He played, then you took him off.
Yeah, I don't know how much of a contribution that necessarily made, but...
Well, yeah, except that the Bonucci ball that gives you your second goal.
Right.
If Bonucci's not on the pitch, Chiesa never scored that second goal.
Right. I think the issue, though, is that you would rather bring the guy, bring one guy on. You can't do that with two guys and say, all right, we'll play you guys for an hour and then take you off. If you're still chasing the game, they're going to say, no, I don't want to come off, right? I mean, I take your point. They don't have that dimension to the game of the passing in midfield. So the only way that they're going to get there is by stretching opponents, right?
Yeah.
Cristiano was off. Morata is the guy who's supposed to run behind to stretch opponents. I think there could have been better passing from deep.
Yeah, 100%.
And they could have attacked more on Chiesa's side.
How come Chiesa didn't touch the ball in the whole first half gap? It's like if he was not playing. It's almost like this is your best player. He's been your best player for a month with Cristiano. And then you don't use him in a game like this against Manafa, a right back. Please.
That is the question. And I think that's going to be part of the inquest. And you have to look at this. I don't think Pirlo sends him out there with the game plan. Chiesa, don't, you know, stay away from the ball. We'll use you as a decoy, you know. More broadly about Juve, though, I want to make this point clear. That this really bugs me. There's some stupid things that people in the Juve sphere say, right? And they really believe this. You know, this whole thing, like, you know, winning isn't everything. It's the only thing that matters. Yeah. The takeoff on Lombardi, who himself copied it from somebody. You know, it's stupid. Obviously, you play to win the game. What the hell does that mean? Does it mean that you were happier with Sarri last season? You know, like, what? The idea is, obviously, you want to win, you want to get better. But there are situations where you have to grow.
Yeah.
You know, this is... I think Piero said, there's no such thing as a transition season at Juve. You have to win all the time. Well, I hope you are a little more grown up than that. And they say, guys, the old way isn't working. The old way didn't work for us.
No.
The old way has left us with enormous amounts of debt, an enormous wage bill. We need to come up with a better way. And that's why they did spend money last year, but they spent money on kids.
Yeah.
So, and kids who will be getting better. And with that, you have to try to play a different brand of football, the football that every big club in Europe, except for Atletico Madrid, plays.
Yeah, okay, so Pirlo stays, right? One, because there's no real alternatives anyway. You're not going to bring back Sarri or Allegri or...
No, there are... No, look, if I'm not 100% on that, because Pirlo could also decide that he wants to walk away. So, look, I'm not good in this. You know.
Like he said after the game, this is a long-term project. Yeah, so he believes that...
And he's right.
Yeah, and he's right. So, okay, where do you go from there in terms of players? Because like that time we played with the Barcelona squad and saying, you know, actually, this is not too bad of a starting point. If we do the same with Juve, you kept Chesney because goalkeeper can play until they're like 50 or something. Demiral, although he made a mistake in that
Demiral
game.
Demiral and Delict, you're fine.
You're fine. Okay, your fullbacks, Danilo and Alexandro, or Cuadrado, or, you know, whoever
you want to play. Frabotta. I mean, that's not a big problem.
So where do you start then after the defense? In midfield, there's a lot of work to be done, right? Even if you believe in McKennie, Rabiot, in Arthur.
Your wingers, your wide positions, I think, with Chiesa and Kulusevski are fine, right?
Okay, Bernardeschi, do you sell to get...
If somebody will give you money for Bernardeschi, yeah, then you consider selling him. I mean, he's adapted to fullback. They've got some kids in the under-23 team who supposedly are good. But, you know, you can't solve everything at once. But the single biggest issue... central midfield.
Yeah.
You need a passer in central midfield. Archer is not that guy, but...
It's too slow on...
I think we're going to see more of Fagioli between now and the end of the season to see if he can play. See, that is his position, supposedly. I don't know. I don't watch the nonsense that is Juve under 23 in the third division. I don't think Juve should have a B team, frankly. But...
And they bought the kid from Genoa?
That's right, yes. And I'm...
Rovella?
Rovella, Nicolò Rovella, yeah. They brought him. So, you know, this is how you're going to grow. Up front, I think you can always sell. If they could, they would sell Dybala. It's not going to happen. But obviously, you've got the Cristiano issue.
So you're not too bad.
You're really not too bad. Your goal is to make these people understand the way you want to play and play better between now and the end of the season. You know, there's no point saying, oh, but, you know, let's go back. And I'll tell you what's going to make it easier. Is when some of the veterans, right? And then you look around like, oh, but do the veterans want to do this? The veterans want to play deeper. There are no veterans anymore. Chiellini's 37. He's always injured, okay?
Yeah.
Like, Chiellini will be moving upstairs and hanging out with Pavel Nedved very soon, right? Leo Bonucci's also, what, 34? You're not going to base it around what Leo Bonucci wants to do.
Yeah.
And then you have Cristiano, who has a year left on his contract. And by the way, Cristiano's been okay with these. I think Cristiano, he's been more productive this year. I think he likes having players around him.
Yeah.
I think there were times with Allegri and Sarri when it really was, oh, look, Cristiano scored. Okay, everybody back. Let's lump the ball to him. And you would see Cristiano getting the ball on the break, and he's 40 yards from goal, and there's nobody near him. And he's like, okay, what am I going to do? Oh, I know. I'll shoot from 35 yards out because there's no point. I'm not going to try to outrun. But if I go and I try to sprint towards the goal, the rest of the defense will converge on me.
I have
nobody to play off of. Let me just shoot. We saw that so many times.
True.
We don't see it now.
He looked frustrated, though, on Tuesday night. And rightly so, because like he did after the Lyon game last season where I was at in Turin, where he was like, he could not believe that they could not beat that Lyon side, to be fair. And I can understand the frustration, especially after all those years at Real Madrid where you were so at the top in those key games. You were so clutch. You were so good. And now he's left as a passenger, like you said. And
Yeah, I think they need to stick with this plan. They need to live through this plan. They need to find out what these kids can do. Again, maybe Pirlo's not the right guy, but if you replace Pirlo, you have to replace him with somebody who has the same vision, who trusts in the kids. There's a million guys who do this in Germany, but that has to be the profile, right?
Yeah.
You know, Allegri, whatever. Has to be the profile for the foreseeable future. I love the Porto story.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
And I don't say it in a patronizing way. I don't follow Portuguese football that closely, but I know that they're not having a good season.
No, at all.
They're way behind Sporting.
Yeah.
I like the idea of these players who get recycled. You know, Chancellor Mbemba, he came to Newcastle. He was quite highly rated
when he came to
Newcastle.
Definitely.
They got relegated. He played a little bit in the championship, then he seemed to disappear. Then he came back another season, and then, you know, what?
It's crazy. And the thing about I love about Mbemba is that he came on French television after the game and he said, "Oh, the free kick, we saw on the video. We saw on the video that they jump all the time. When the free kick was taken far away, they jump. So we practice. Sergio practice at training just to hit it under the wall, just in case if in the game we had like a long, kind of a long, longish range free kick, then he would try it. Because we knew they didn't put anyone laying on the floor and they kept jumping all the time. So I love it when someone spots something at the video before a game, preparing for a game, and say, you know what, let's try it. And he could try another 99 times and he's not going to score. Yeah. But on this one, it worked. And I love the story as well, Sergio Conceição. I think, I don't know why he hasn't worked out for them in the league this season. It could be a lot of reasons in such a special season. But certainly in the Champions League, if you look, even the game against City, they defended well usually. It's always a 4-4-2. They always work hard. Luis Diaz, that they went to find in Colombia, is a really good young player that I think has a bright future.
Great one-on-ones.
Sorry?
Great one-on-ones. Yeah.
Taremi is, you know, he's a different profile and he's, you know, but...
He doesn't get sent off. Yeah.
Yeah. But Marega works so hard for this team and yeah, he could always be a better finisher, but that works for them. And then you've got Otavio and Tecasito, I was going to say Corona. Jesus Corona,
you
but
can
Tecasito.
Say it. I can say it.
But again, Sergio Oliveira for me is the heart of that team. He's so good on the ball. And yeah, he sums it up really well because.
Why has his career been so.
I don't know. In Nantes, people were saying how good he was at training, but then hardly played, didn't really fancy matches. When he was in Belgium, he left his flat with 50 kilos of clothes. Because he couldn't be bothered taking that with him, going back to Portugal. It was just like all those stories where you think, okay, now the guy is bossing games in the Champions League where he looks amazing, to be fair.
I'm wondering, how old is Oliveira now?
28.
I mean, is there a bit of a Bruno Fernandes parallel where people thought he was outstanding for a long time at smaller clubs and it kind of took him a while to get to the stage where people are like, oh my God, this guy's really good?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, he went to PAOK and they won the double. And I don't know, the last time that PAOK won the double in Greece was like, I think, when the gods still existed. And just like, but so there must have been something. Maybe his attitude.
I think Apollo was the manager and Artemis was the director of football.
Oh, director of football, okay.
Yeah, back when they
that when they won the double. But it's one of those where maybe the environment was wrong, maybe his own. His own maturity was not there, attitude, all of that, and then suddenly do something. Because Sergio Conceição took it with him at Nantes to show that he must have had faith with him a long time ago. And yet he had to use all those loans to go back and finally do well at his club.
I'm happy. Sergio Conceição.
Yeah.
One of the good guys.
But everybody would want to draw them, right? In the quarterfinals.
Oh, Let's be honest. Of course, yeah. I mean, that's kind of where the magic dissipates.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You know what? Hey, it's bulletin board material.
Yeah.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the Did we just hit $1 million stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Shopify is your no excuses business partner. Sell without needing to code or design. Just bring your best ideas and Shopify will help you open up shop. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/gabjules, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/gabjules now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/gabjules. Enough Juve. Let's talk about the remontada that wasn't. Barcelona not getting it done against Paris Saint-Germain. Paris Saint-Germain advancing. It was a tall order. It was impossible. But we saw the tremendous goal from Messi.
Yeah.
Then when they gave the penalty, squeaky bomb there, right?
I was sweaty, Gab. You won't believe. Because I think if Messi scores that pen and you go to the break at 2-1, I think they can do it in the second half. They had so much momentum. They were so much better in that first half than PSG, who got their wrong approach and wrong game plan. And we'll talk about that a bit later. But that I really think that Barca can do it. And they've missed so many chances in that first half. They had 9 shots on target, which is the most PSG ever had against them in the Champions League ever.
I mean, should we go and praise Joan Laporta? Is this the Laporta effect? No, I'm sure he'd take credit for it.
He did hug them when they got off the plane and stuff.
But it is remarkable because Barcelona had been, you know, obviously we've talked about it. They've been on an upswing, right?
Yeah, they've improved massively.
They've been on an upswing, they've improved. But to show this kind of mentality and cohesion and belief in the first half, when you know that it's extremely unlikely that you'll be able to turn around, that, I think, is pretty remarkable.
Yeah,
you know,
you're right.
Because it wasn't like the kind of, we've got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
No, it was focused, we're going to go and do this, even though it's impossible. We got to give a bit of credit to Koeman here.
Yeah, completely. And you know that I'm a harsh critic of his. But I have to say, this was the best 45 minutes I've seen them play this season. They were superb. They were magnificent in that first half. And you're right. It's not just, okay, go with the willingness to do this. No, they had a plan. You know, De Jong playing at the back because he could come out with the ball like he did. And that messed up PSG's midfield completely because Paredes, Verratti and Gay, they were not sure who goes on De Jong, who doesn't. Icardi was a bit lost because he had to look at Busquets too. The way that Messi and Griezmann dropped into spaces, that flexibility, that freedom, Pedri, Busquets, the wingback, and even Dembele. And he's not a striker, so he's not going to score 4 goals out of 4 chances. That's
no,
not
he doesn't have a clear goal. He was going to stretch defenders, he'll get there, but he's not.
And he
not.
Did that great. His runs were great, but he had those chances and were not clinical enough. But pretty much everything worked for them.
And except for the penalty.
Except for the penalty.
Which, was that a bit harsh?
I don't think it's a pen. And, you know, this is PSG on my team, so I would go like, yeah. I don't think you give this one. And yeah, of course, he steps on his foot, so there's you impede him? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
But come on. Icardi can't get to the ball. Longley is not even looking at Icardi. He's just running straight.
And did he also get booked?
I think he got a yellow card as well.
Yeah. I wonder, obviously, we cover the Premier League closely. This is the best referee they have,
yeah,
by the way. This is the best.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Atwell's really good. I like Atwell maybe a little better, but this is not a good look. The way VAR was used, the way none of this was.
And
was
then,
a good
what
look.
Do you make of the encroachment of Verratti on the Messi penalty that he missed? That Navas saved. Navas, by the way, incredible, like Superman. I tweeted after the game: Navas's head on Superman's body because the guy was incredible. But do you think that should have been retaken?
That's what the rules say.
The rules say. You know, how did they not see it? Or how did they not? Want
I don't
to
know.
See it?
I don't know. Again, I want to talk about referees, and in the end, it didn't influence everything because the team that was better with the 2 legs deserves to go through.
Yeah.
But this shows you that they're not in a good state of mind right now. Now, I know you're going to want to find fault with Pochettino because that's how Paris Saint-Germain rolls. You drive your good managers out, right? Look at Thomas Tuchel. No, just kidding. And we were going to get more into it with our podcast listeners.
Yeah.
But just for a flavor of it, you had an issue with the first 45 minutes and the way they set up tactically.
Yeah, wrong game plan, wrong approach. Why not pressing more? When that's what Poch does so well, that intensity disappeared. There was nothing there. They were scared. They were anxious. You could see that the ball was almost burning their feet. They could not keep it. They could not do three passes together. They were not aggressive. There was just nothing. And I'm like, wow, how did you prepare them? Why did they play so deep?
We're gonna try to answer some of those questions on the podcast and tell you how the magnificent Poch turned it around. All right, Jules, football's not that complicated a game, right? You have a 4-1 lead. You have a guy who's absolutely devastating and monstrous on the break, Kylian Mbappe. Although he did really fluff that chance he missed.
You're
doing so well, yeah.
The step over is great. And then why did you rush it? Why did you hit
the hard
part?
I know.
Crazy.
I'm making it simple. I'll sit deeper and I'll try to hit on the break. What's wrong with that?
Because, okay, that's a good thing. How many times did they play on the break in behind for Mbappe into space? Ooh. Hardly never. It was all to feet. So then, as amazing as he is, you've got Mingueza one-on-one, but then you've got also Serginho Dest, who plays the right wing back, who comes and helps Mingueza.
And he's probably
and then
not,
De Jong.
And he's about as fast as Mbappe.
Yeah, exactly. So in the end, you say, okay, if that's the game plan, I didn't see any of it in the first half for sure. And then it's more the lack of the wrong attitude from the players, and that comes also from your manager. And I understand it might not be easy after what happened 4 years ago and a 4-1 lead from the first leg. What do you defend it or you go on the attack? But if you attack too much, then you might left expose yourself behind your defense behind. So are you a bit caught in between of like, do we attack, do we defend, do we do, and in the end you do either. And then I think Navas had 9 shots on target, Barcelona, in that first half. One goal, that incredible strike from Messi. But the rest, Navas saved it all. I mean, if you had Alphonse Areola, and, you know, I love him, he's Paris born and bred, but we would have been 4-0 down at halftime.
And yeah, and that would have been that.
Yeah.
It is pretty remarkable. And you said Pochettino was angry at halftime.
Yeah, he was. He shouted at the players, proper, like, air dryer treatment towards the players for again not being aggressive. He said something in the sense of like, well, do you want to lose this game? Do you want them to come back? Are you going to let them come back? Just wake up, do something, you know, be more aggressive, keep the ball better, more movement. They were not running even. Like, I mean, Draxler, I understand maybe the choice of Draxler from the start because Di Maria was not fully fit, just come back from injury, and you put Draxler because he's been quite good in the league earlier this year. But he didn't want. He looked like he didn't want to play.
Draxler, for me, remains one of the mysteries of football. Considering the amount of hype he got when he was very, very young, I remember going to the Confederations Cup in Russia in 2017, which Germany won. Remember they sent
yeah,
the
with
B team.
B team, yeah.
And Draxler was the star of the show. So much personality out there. Doing so many things,
yeah,
so smart,
gifted, yeah.
Play all over the pitch. What happened? Why did Paris Saint-Germain have to go and ruin one of the treasures of German football?
So it's our fault now.
Well, I'm just wondering.
He had the first 6 months, amazing. He arrived in January. He was fantastic. Everything, the first touch, wow. Everything was so good, so elegant, so intelligent. And then, I don't know, maybe he got too comfortable. New managers, more managers changed. I'm not really sure what happened. But when I see him with all that talent and at his age, I'm thinking like, man, come on. You know, come on. He could have left. He's one of those that he could have left in January. He could have left last summer, probably last January as well. And yet wanted to stay. Huge contract. Very happy in Paris. He loves Paris. His French is perfect. His girlfriend loves Paris. So I understand, you know, that he wouldn't want maybe to go to, I don't know, a place in the middle of nowhere, somewhere, for less money. I get that. But he still has so much to offer. I didn't see enough of it on Wednesday night. But that not to say that he can't have a future at the club and maybe somewhere else, or somewhere else.
I want to just turn it back to Barcelona for a second. This is a game changer. I mean, if there's a silver lining in this at this point, they're already at peace with going out. They're not going to win the treble, but all of a sudden you like them a little more
Completely.
For the double, right?
Completely. Keep that formation. Well, I mean, you don't have to play De Jong all the time at the back. Although, again, he was so good. He was really good. And you could drop Griezmann as well and play De Jong back in midfield and have a more traditional sort of 3-5-2 formation. But there's something there. Just keep working on it. And again, I like the fact that there was a plan. There was an idea. Okay, this is how we can come out with the ball. This is the movement we can do. This is the diagonal that we can find. Look at Dembele. He can offer you that those runs in behind that we don't have before. So suddenly you've got something there that is great, that is much better than anything we've seen before under Koeman this year. And you know what? You would have never said that. But maybe even keep him for next season. That
Ronald Koeman sticking around for next season. There you go. I still think it's going to be a weekly audition from now until June, no matter what
Laporta
says. But
Would you keep Koeman for next season?
I wouldn't make a decision now. I go to him and say, look, dude, either we're going to give you a year's wages for doing nothing in June and you can walk off and you're doing a great job, or convince us that you're the right guy. We got to look at budgets. But at least Koeman's not a problem now.
Yeah.
You know, I think that is a huge step forward. And look, he's proving a lot of people wrong.
Yeah.
You know, the next step is Barto is going to go and take credit for appointing Koeman from his home, from his detention center, wherever the hell he is.
The one phone call that he has.
Like, exactly.
Hey, don't forget.
To the media. Hey, friends in the media, reminder.
Friends in the media, remind everyone that Koeman is my idea.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/gab. Just go to Indeed.com/gab right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/gab. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Enough, Bartomeu. How about some quick hits instead?
Let's go, Gab.
Right. So maybe rumors of Liverpool's demise are somewhat exaggerated, to paraphrase Mark Twain. They beat Leipzig 2-0. They advanced to the quarterfinals on aggregate 4-0. Jules, will we go back and remember this game as the one where they turned everything around? Or is it just that you're 2-0 up, easier to play when you're 2-0 up?
And they gave you a lot of spaces and you defended well on the long balls that they kept playing towards Poulsen. I was like, wow, okay. And we will see on Monday night at Wolverhampton against a team that sits so deep and defends so well what you're about. But certainly this is a game that can only bring you confidence anywhere and momentum. The big news is Fabinho in midfield and how different everything else looks, not just your intensity in midfield and that press and being aggressive, but also protecting your back four far more than anybody else has done this season. So Fabinho plus Diogo Jota, who's just come back from injury and already looks like the player he was before the injury, there's a lot of positives from that night in Budapest. By the way, you know they've scored more goals at home in Budapest in 2021 than at home in Liverpool.
Maybe you should move there for the year.
Yeah, for the Premier League as well. Gab, it's the first Champions League quarterfinals in 16 years since 2005 without either Cristiano Ronaldo or Leo Messi. Should we get used to this? And has the torch now finally been passed to Kylian and Erling?
Well, the goat torch, no.
Too early.
The hype torch is getting there. Look, I think it's fantastic that, you know, we're going to have... I remember I love bringing this up because I wrote about this year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they haven't done... Mbappe and Haaland haven't done anything. What are you saying? Like, no, this is cool. This could be the rivalry that defines the next decade, which is really cool. Or it might not be. Yeah. They may just end up being very, very good players. Or one may be... You know, let's just appreciate this. But tell you what, I don't think Ronaldo and Messi are done. Do you?
No, I don't.
I think they'll still be at big clubs next year. And the other thing is, you know, what it means is Barcelona haven't been in the Champions League quarterfinals for 16 consecutive years. This is a team sport, right? Yeah. Cristiano won the Champions League 3 years ago at Real Madrid. We can't hang this all on them.
No.
I think whatever happens, I think they'll still be at Champions League clubs and clubs that are likely to do well, and we'll see them again. I mean, yeah. I think, you know, Kylian and Erling can wait a couple years.
Yes, definitely.
Speaking of Kylian, Dortmund draw 2-2 with Sevilla and advance on aggregate 5-4. Jules, two things. One is they nearly throw it all away at the end.
Completely.
And B, that VAR situation was a lot of fun, God. Right?
It was a lot of
fun. Correct.
Correct. If we start with that, it's a goal disallowed, scored by Erling Haaland because he barges out Fernando. But then the referee also looked at an incident just before where clearly the shirt was pulled in the box. So gives a penalty from it. Erling Haaland takes the penalty. It's saved by Bounou, but turns out that Bounou was off his line. Then Bounou, by the way, after he saved the penalty, had a bit of a trolling towards Haaland, but then the penalty is retaken. Haaland scores this one, then trolls himself.
Yeah, I know.
So there's a bit of argy-bargy coming after that because obviously Ocampos and all the South American from Sevilla didn't like that either. It was just great. The drama was great. At the end, it looked like Dortmund were not sure what to do, and then the pressure came on from Sevilla. Papu Gomez came on, and I thought had a good impact for the last 20 minutes, like he did. Luke De Jong as well. And suddenly it looks like almost a third goal from Sevilla would have taken that to extra time. Yeah. It would have been another
drama.
And
at that point, all my money would have been on Lopetegui. By the way, this is not a good Sevilla team. They've been struggling. Honestly, if you're Dortmund, this game, yeah, okay, you're through, great.
Yeah.
But this should keep you up at 90 grand. We still got a long way to go. And on the Sevilla R decision, I have no problem with it. The ball never went out of play. These are the rules. Live with it.
Yeah,
people
exactly.
say, oh, why couldn't they just give the goal instead rather than faffing about? Well, it's not faffing about because it's not like, you know, because it wasn't a goal, it's a penalty.
Exactly.
You know, two different things. Would have been a great goal, by the way.
Yeah. Jude Bellingham, by the way, take a bow, 17 years of age, and what an incredible performance. Jogi Löw has announced that he will step down as the Germany manager after Euro 2020-21. Gab, you must be shocked.
Yeah, nobody could have seen this coming. No.
It's a year before the end of his contract, though.
Yeah, I'm assuming that the reason this news hasn't come out say 3-4 months ago is that all the lawyers were sitting there and kind of, you know, dealing with what would happen next. It gives the German FA some time to look at it. You know, Jurgen Klopp has ruled himself out unless he gets sacked, which I don't think he will be sacked. Germany, it'll be interesting to me whether, because there obviously still is a Rangnick party.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think, though, they're going to go for somebody internally.
Stefan Kuntz.
Somebody's good. Stefan Kuntz would be, I think, logical.
Yeah, under 21 manager.
Manchester City beat up Southampton 5-2. Jules, I feel like we should talk about how, like, De Bruyne scored two goals and so on, rather than Pep being grumpy about VAR, like it says here.
We can do a bit of both. You know, De Bruyne scored two. It was great because since coming back from injury, he hadn't really hit the highs that he had before, which is maybe normal. Riyad Mahrez was fantastic too. I think when Bernardo Silva plays, it makes a big difference, but that's my opinion. But Pep was grumpy because VAR... didn't see is the wrong expression, but there was a clear penalty for City that neither the referee John Moss or the VAR flagged up, so gave, whistled, and Pep went mad afterwards. And maybe
we can't blame this one on Dean and his friend,
no,
right? Or these other Tierney.
It's just how, why did they think it's because the referee said no, I saw it, but didn't think it was a pen, so.
I don't know. I don't know. But City extend their lead into United.
And they're going to,
by the way, big deal that De Bruyne is scoring again and, you know, contributing in that way too.
Yeah. For years, there's been talk of Manchester United appointing a sporting director to be like all the rest of the football world. Gab, now they have both a director of football and a technical director as well. What's going on?
Yeah, so the technical director is Darren Fletcher, I think most people have heard of, former midfielder. The director of football is John Murta, who... what's funny about this guy is Mark Ogden, who obviously, you know, close eye on United. Mm. This guy, Murta, came there with Moyes, kept telling me, oh, yeah, they'll probably appoint him. He told me this a year and a half ago, right? So they've been looking for a director of football for Yonks. I have no idea. And then they go and I don't know. And then they appoint somebody internally. So by all accounts, I don't know Murta. I've met Darren Fletcher a few times. I think a lot of people speak very highly of him. But then again, he's been there all along. I think the interesting bit is going to be, since he was there and he was part of the decision-making process before, is it going to be a top-down thing where Murta's going to be and Fletcher are going to be in charge and their world will be final, or will it still be everything by committee and let's see what Phelan thinks and Nicky Budd and Solskjaer and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, interesting.
You know, but...
But it's a step in the right direction, though, right?
Yeah, Manchester United, welcome to 1980. Atletico Madrid bounced back from the draw in the Madrid derby to beat Athletic Bilbao 2-1. 12 games to go, 6 points clear of Barca, 8 points clear of Real Madrid. We're more confident for Cholo to make sure he didn't screw this one up, right?
Do you know what? This was the most important game in Atletico Madrid's season. Domestically, I mean, not if you take Champions League apart. Because they're 1-0 down, they're not playing well, they've only won one of the last four, one of the last five or something. They're not going through a good time at all. And yet they come back and win these games with the two players that have been their outstanding performers this season, Marcos Llorente and Luis Suarez. And I just thought the character they showed to come back and win this was huge for the season. The European Club Association, the ECA and the European Football Leagues met this week to talk Champions League reform. Gab, what was the outcome?
So the main sticking point right now, so basically everybody's on board with this. It's a 36-team Champions League. We're going to have the so-called Swiss model, which I don't think is bad. Well, we find out it was, and Daniele outed Edwin van der Sar and say it was Edwin van der Sar's idea.
Yeah, that's good.
So, but one of the main issues, obviously, is that they're going to play more games. Yeah. We'll have four more match days, which obviously is going to annoy clubs domestically, as Crystal Palace found out, whatever. The main sticking point is those extra four spots, do you allocate them based on how they qualify domestically, or do you do it based on their historic record? And obviously, the big clubs want historic record.
Yeah, yeah.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Jose Mourinho says he can't play Gareth Bale for 90 minutes every game. Jules, he's right, isn't he?
Of course he's right. Gareth Bale is 31 years old. He's hardly played in the last 2 years before coming to Spurs. And he had a really tough first 6 months as well. So just give him the time. Don't overplay him because he's going to get injured.
But I want my BKS.
I know you want your BKS. You will have it, but maybe just for 60 minutes or 65 or 70. And then you'll have to wait a few more days to get it. But the most important is that he keeps performing. So if that means playing 60 minutes or 65, so be it. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer says Manchester United want to keep Edinson Cavani for another year at the club. But Luis Cavani, Edinson's dad, says that he will leave this summer and join Boca Juniors. Gab, they can't both be right, though. So it has to be one or the other.
Well, you mean he's not like Schrodinger's cat? He can't exist in two different situations at once? Look, I think this is just posture. I mean, United signed him for 1+1, right? So they have an option on the second year. So he might not have a choice on this unless Boca Juniors want to pay a transfer fee, which I'm sure they don't. So I think it's more a case of, can we negotiate? Can we get a different deal in place for that option year? And I think that's just posturing because, look, if Cavani goes to Boca, he's going to take an enormous pay cut, which he might be happy to do. And
he might want to go back to South America. Yeah, maybe.
Or he might not. But hey, it frees up that slot for Cristiano Ronaldo.
Oh, my God, that's your story.
Former Arsenal scout Sven Mislintat, speaking to The Athletic, says Matteo Guendouzi. Former Arsenal scout. He's actually former Arsenal head of recruitment, scouting, big bossy type, right?
But he signed those two players. Yeah.
You don't know where I'm going with this. Says Matteo Guendouzi and Lucas Torreira are excellent footballers who could really help Arsenal if Arteta hadn't sent them out on loan. He also says that the only reason he left his role was he joined to work with Arsene Wenger, and of course Wenger left 6 months later. Who could possibly have imagined that?
Yeah.
You buying this?
So they are.
Let's take Guendouzi and Torreira first.
Yeah, they're two players that he signed. He's not going to say, oh, yeah, they're dreadful. You know, I made a mistake by signing them. So, of course, he's going to pick them up. I love them both. I think they both have a lot of talent. But maybe it's just not the right players for what Arteta wants. I don't know. This is Arteta. Why would he get rid of players if he wanted to play them?
So he could give Thomas Partey that enormous contract and spend an enormous amount.
But that might be a good thing as well. We don't know yet. It's too early to say. And Sven Mislintat wanted to be the sporting director at the club. He didn't get that job.
He applied
for the position. Didn't get it. Arsene leaving was obviously not good news for him either. So listen, he's doing a good job at Stuttgart. Good for him. I haven't read the articles, but don't diss, you know, the club that you were at before.
But he's done that. I just don't buy this idea that he went there and like, well, I'm here to work with Arsene Wenger. Now Wenger leaves.
Yeah, no.
Who didn't know that Arsene Wenger wasn't going to be there in perpetuity?
He's been there for 50 years already. It was closer to the end than the beginning. Ryan Giggs is still out on bail following his arrest from assault and won't take charge of Wales qualifiers in the next set of qualifiers at the end of March. Gab, is the Wales FA playing this correctly?
I think so. It's a tough situation.
It
right?
is. It really is.
Because you don't want to be associated with anybody like that.
No.
Right? Even in the slightest. But equally, he has a right for his case to be heard, and he's innocent until proven guilty. I don't know kind of the language that they're using here. I would just, and obviously you're not going to cancel his contract. There's legal implications, and you can't do that.
Yeah.
But you say, look, you are suspended until, because we take this seriously, until you've resolved this issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
So from that sense, I mean, I'm glad they're taking it seriously enough for that.
No, definitely.
A late Michael Cousin's goal gives Marseille a win over Rennes on Jorge Sampaoli's debut.
Yes.
Jules, the grey man's already having his effects.
He is. I mean, he changed everything tactically compared to AVB or even Nasser Larguet, who had the interim job.
He made it better, right?
Well, he made it different, that's for sure. they were not amazing in the game, and it would take them a bit of time to
understand. Did he score in like minute 88
or
something?
Yeah, 88. But the two subs, the crosser, Luis Enrique, the other one, no relation, and obviously Cuisance with the header coming big, so his substitutions and his coaching worked, and certainly they would need a bit more time to get to know what he wants, to understand the new tactics and everything. But starting with a win against a team like Rennes, who you're sort of battling with for European places, not Champions League. Yeah, direct opponent, is really good. Robin Olsen and his wife and two young children were held at knife point during a home invasion where they live in the northwest. Carlo Ancelotti and Fabinho recently as well also suffered break-ins, which is something that many other players unfortunately have had to deal with. How now clubs, Gab, are talking about sending armed security to players' homes. What do you think? What do you make of this?
I mean, there's suggestions. This is a gang out there with certain people being targeted. I don't know enough about this to say this is a gang or they target other high-profile people. Obviously, the whole thing is with footballers, you know when they're not home. Mm. Obviously, Robin Olsen was home, but I think it's pretty awful. I think people need to do what they need to do to feel safe. And you know, if it is something that clubs can do to make them happier, if they need to get their own security, I wouldn't like the idea. I don't have armed security guards at my house. You'd be surprised to know.
Yeah.
I don't like the idea of it, and I hate the idea of feeling that it is necessary.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm there to do my job.
Definitely.
Cult hero and all-around magician Yunus Belhanda has had his contract cancelled by Galatasaray for complaining about his own club's pitch. Jules, this is a warning that if you're an employee, free speech is limited.
Yes, well, certainly at Galatasaray. I don't know in other clubs, but Galatasaray, they didn't like at all what Belhanda said. Basically, he said the pitch is a disgrace. Our home pitch is a disgrace. Maybe, you know, the directors, the president, everything should spend less time on Instagram and Twitter and on social media and in the media in Turkey and focus on getting us a better pitch, because even the training ground pitches are better than this at the stadium. So they didn't like it. They sacked him. There's a lot of baggage behind that, of course, lots of history between Belhanda and the club, Belhanda and the fans in the past few years. But still, I mean,
maybe just a cynic in me, but I also imagine that there's a global pandemic, the guy has a contract, this is a way to stop paying him at this stage.
Maybe, I think you've gone to something.
You know,
Rio de Janeiro's legendary Maracana Stadium is to be renamed after Pelé. Gab, do you like this idea?
So, I don't. And I don't like this idea, not because I don't like Pelé, but yeah. I don't like, I'll tell you why, okay? Yeah. First of all, this whole, oh, let's name stadiums after great players. This kind of smacks of like, oh, look, they did it in Naples with Diego Armando Maradona.
And in Amsterdam with Johan Cruyff.
But that was a few years ago, no?
Yeah. But yeah, after he died, this day.
You know, secondly, Pelé isn't dead. I'm not saying somebody has to pass to do it, but yeah. Like, he retired many years ago. He's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
But nobody thought of this earlier. Thirdly, Maracanã is an icon.
I know.
Well, you know, with all due respect, it's not named after some stupid sponsor. It is old Maracanã.
Yeah.
Fourthly, Maracanã is in Rio de Janeiro. Pelé isn't from Rio de Janeiro. He's from, I think, near Belo Horizonte in Minas Gerais. And he grew up and started playing his football in Sao Paulo.
Yeah.
All right? At Santos. I mean, yeah, obviously he played at the Maracanã, but it seems kind of hokey. I don't know. Like,
yeah, I'm with you completely.
And of course, you're also doing that thing where, like, well, we're renaming the stadium, but the complex will still be called Maracanã, which, you know, means no doubt you can attach some sponsor to it in the future. I don't know. Like, look.
It's a bit strange, yeah.
I think there's better ways to honor Pelé than Maracanã.
Yeah.
Now, if they called it the Zico stadium. No, I'm just kidding. But still, whatever. Right, enough of that. That's all we've got time for this week. Jules, we'll come back on Monday to do this again,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, yeah. Well, we ain't leaving anytime soon.
No, definitely not.
Until then, love the game, love your neighbor, love yourself.